The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. With these brief sentences, the evangelist John tells us everything we need to know about the baptizer, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. What's important about John is not his person, but his witness, his testimony. We're told elsewhere in the Gospels that John dressed like Elijah of old, in camel's hair with a leather belt. The place where he was preaching and baptizing was connected with Elijah as well. It was from there that Elijah had been taken up into heaven with the chariot and the horses of fire. As we heard from Mark last week, the baptizer was he of whom the prophet Malachi had written, the Lord's messenger, whom he sent to prepare the way before him. Indeed, as Jesus would later testify, John was the one of whom the Lord was speaking when Malachi wrote, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." But the truth is that none of this gets you anywhere. Indeed, it just gets in the way if you refuse to listen to John's testimony. John came to bear witness to the coming one. His whole reason for being, his preaching and his baptizing and everything else he did, was to point to another. Indeed, that's the point of his response to the delegation that came from Jerusalem to question him. "Who are you?" they asked. And John didn't even think he was important enough to bother answering that question directly. That would require him to talk about himself. And that's not what he was there to do. "I am not the Christ," he said. He confessed, which is to say, it doesn't matter who I am. I'm not important. Focusing on me will just distract you from the one who is important. I am not the Christ. There's another one who is. Indeed, the Christ is here in your midst. He stands among you. He's the one who's important. Focus on him. He must increase. I must decrease. I am not the Christ, John confessed. But even with his mention of the Christ, the promised Messiah, the delegation insisted on focusing on John. What then? Are you Elijah? They knew the prophecy of Malachi. The land had been without a prophet now for some 400 years. In at least some respects, John fit that bill. But he wasn't Elijah, at least not in the sense that they imagined. And so he said to them, I am not. Are you the prophet? They persisted. Near the end of his life, Moses had prophesied, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. To him you shall listen. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to you all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Are you that prophet? They wanted to know. Are you the Moses-like prophet? John answered, no. In fact, he had already answered that question when he confessed, I am not the Christ. Because the prophet like Moses, whom the Lord promised he would send, was none other than the Lord Jesus himself. When they continued to press, John finally relented and spoke of himself. Do you remember what Isaiah wrote? He asked them. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Well, I'm that voice. Repent, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Confess your sins, be baptized, and believe the gospel. This was John's testimony. Repent, prepare the way of the Lord, confess your sins, be baptized, believe the gospel. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves. They refused to be baptized by John. Adamantly and persistently, they rejected John's witness to the light. Among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, John testified. But they remained uninterested. Not curious about this one. They didn't recognize the full burden of their sin, the reality that apart from one whose way John prepared, they were destined for death and hell. And so they didn't repent, didn't confess, didn't believe. They rejected the testimony of John, his witness to the light. And so they remained in darkness and in the shadow of death. What about you? The fact is that you and I are just as inclined as the delegation the Pharisees sent from Jerusalem to have problems with John's testimony. The law says that nothing good dwells in you, that is, in your flesh. And that's difficult to swallow. Nothing? Absolutely nothing? Surely there must be something good, something righteous, you want to argue. But the testimony of John, which confirmed the testimony of all of the scriptures, is clear. All your righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Your righteous deeds. John's testimony was for Roman soldiers and tax collectors and prostitutes, to be sure. But not just for them. It was for pious Pharisees and priests and Levites as well. And for the likes of you and me, too. People who fear, love, and trust many things before the Lord. People who fail to call upon the Lord in every trouble. To pray, praise, and give thanks to Him. People who don't always and eagerly attend to God's word in preaching and study, in devotion and meditation. People who don't respect and cherish the authorities God has appointed over us. People who get angry with, at times even hate others. People whose thoughts and whose words often fall short of the chastity God requires, whose love and honor for their spouse is not perfect. People who are happy to benefit at the expense of a neighbor, who find it impossible to always defend, speak well of, and explain in the kindest way our neighbor's words or deeds. And who, far from content with what God has given us, find our appetite for more and better far exceeds what our gracious and generous Lord enables us to acquire. John's testimony is that you need a Savior. But not only that, he also testifies that God sent his Son to be your Savior, sent his Son as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, to take away your sin. The light to whom John testified, the one whose way he prepared, is none other than the Lord himself, Jesus, the Son of God, who took on flesh and blood, was born of a virgin, lived a life of perfect holiness, and then died the death of a sinner, forsaken by the Father, to pay for your sins, to win your redemption. The reason John was unworthy to untie the strap of the coming one's sandal is because he was preparing the way for none other than the Lord God Almighty himself. But Jesus, who is as much superior to the angels as the name that he has inherited is more excellent than theirs, gladly humbled himself for your sake. Indeed, for the joy that was set before him, the joy of having mercy on you, the joy of forgiving you all your sins, the joy of preparing a place for you in his Father's home, for the joy of saving you, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and risen from the dead is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, where even now he is interceding for you, even as he rules over everything for the benefit of the church, which is his body. That means that today and tomorrow, and to the end of your life, your Savior is working all things together for good for you, eternally. Come what may, even if you were to be marked for slaughter, to be killed for the sake of Jesus' name, even then God would work it for your eternal good, that you might be conformed to the image of his Son. The testimony of John is that you are a sinner. A sinner whom God loved by sending his Son, so that you would not perish in hell as you have deserved, but rather have eternal life with him. Believe it. It's the gospel truth. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.